following is brought to you by Canyon Ridge Church at Tacoma. For additional podcasts or information on service times and upcoming events, please visit us online at www.explorecrc.com.
Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah. So, we're continuing our talk in our series, Hope Overcomes. My name is Pastor Josh, pastor here at Canyon Ridge, and excited to continue the series. The first week we talked about what do we do when the hope of God, when God disappoints us. The second week we talked about, last week we talked about kind of what do we do when others disappoint us. And I want to talk today about what do we do when we've been disappointed, when we've had a change of plans, and then how do we take a step forward? How do we take a step forward when we've been disappointed and our plans have changed? Any planners in here? Any planners? People that have had their Christmas shopping done since the end of summer, that you've had your Christmas shopping done for a while. Other people that still have a ton of Christmas shopping to do, like me. Yes, we still have stuff to do. Well, it can be difficult when your plans can change at Christmas, not just with presents, but with other things in your life. There's some people that never thought they would have been job hunting around Christmas. And other people, maybe they have that empty chair at home because they've lost a loved one at Christmas. And Christmas, it's difficult to walk through the Christmas season because they don't have the person that they loved with them at the moment. There's all sorts of things that have happened. How do we take a step when we go through something that our plans didn't work out? Our plans changed. And so I want to talk about that today, and I want to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, the story of Joseph. And this reads, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." That's who we celebrate this season, Jesus. Here we see there's this young couple, and they have these hopes of marriage. And you know, Mary and Joseph, they're the mother and father of Jesus. They are there. They're meeting, but the Bible kind of glosses over things. The Bible's a holy book, and as such, it has holes. I know that's a dumb pastor joke, but it is. It skips over things, and so I want to kind of, if you imagine with me, Will, imagine the story, because we've got to understand the story. And so I want you to imagine with me, Will, if we put it in a modern day context, what would this look like? What would the hope look like? So I was thinking through this, and I thought, okay, well, Mary, she's a teenager. She's going to youth group, and so she goes to youth group at the synagogue. And when she gets there, there's a guy named Joey that's going to get up and speak. And Joey is there, and he gets up, and he's a younger guy, older than her, not, like early 20s maybe, something like that. And he's there, and she sees him speak, and Mary and her friends, she thinks this guy is really cute. And they have the youth group. He does his talk. It's a good talk. After the youth group then, you know, he's milling about with everybody else, and he stops by and comes to talk to Mary. And Mary's so excited, and she hears he has a good job. He's a carpenter, and so he does some good things. And so they get to talking, and Mary and Joseph talk, and they hit it off, and it goes really well. And then, you know, each time it comes like that. They start talking, and they become friends, and deeper and deeper friends until finally one time, Joey asks Mary out to Holy Grounds Coffee Shop in Nazareth, and they go out to Holy Grounds, and they really just hit it off again, and things go really, really well, and they keep dating now, and they're going out, they go see the Red Sea, and they go see, you know, all this these different things around, and after that, then finally Joey gets ready, and he goes, throws some change down on a rock, and he sets up the situation perfectly, and he hires a photographer to kind of hide while he does the proposal, and he gets down on one knee and proposes, and she accepts, and they're so excited for their future. They're thinking about the future house they're going to have together. They're thinking about the kids they're going to have together. They're thinking about all these amazing things that their life is going to be like. Now, disclaimer, it was an arranged marriage, so it didn't really happen like that. So for all you Bible scholars out there, but I'm just trying to paint the picture that there were hopes that they had. And in the midst of those hopes, Mary has this holy and special encounter with God. And God comes down one night while she's by herself and says to her that she has been chosen to make history, that she would bear the Son of God. And it's amazing. And we think about it that, oh, this is great. She gets to become the mother of the Son of God. What an amazing opportunity that she has. But think about it, too. She also has hopes to get married. She's a young girl meeting a guy that she likes, and she wants to get married. And so she must be surprised. She must be freaking out. She must be going through difficulty because here it is. She was pregnant, or she was going to get married, and now she's pregnant. And so she tells Joseph, and Joseph, he starts freaking out. And Joseph is devastated because Joseph trusted her. Joseph loved her. She was such a sweet wife. She was such a good woman. She would have been such a good wife. I mean, he saved himself for her. He didn't try to get her in the hump of a back of a camelback. And he was there that he was trying to be with her, and he was trying to be faithful. But in the midst of all of this, it didn't work out. They had difficulty in their life, and there was a sense that they reached a dead end. They reached a difficult time. Now, one thing I want you to know, too, when they're engaged, for them to be engaged really was like them being married. Legally, the only way you could break off an engagement was not like, hey, I don't want to marry you anymore. It was you actually had to get divorced because it was a legal thing. And so here's Mary and Joseph with all of these hopes that they have in their life. And now they're in disappointment. When Jesus first came, we always like to think of it as the Christmas story, as good news, a story of new beginnings. But when Jesus first came, Jesus came as a disappointment. He came as a disappointment to the hopes that Mary and Joseph had for their life. And that was difficult for them because they had hopes. I mean, Joseph was at a dead end in his life because he had wanted to marry Mary. Kind of like gets confusing. He wanted to have marriage to Mary. And so So he had these hopes of all these things. She would have been such a good wife. She would have had such good things. And it would have been such a good time. But now she says she has a baby and it's from the Lord. And now it's all of my hopes and my dreams have gone away. But Joseph wasn't the only one with a dead end at Christmas time. It was also the Israelites. The Israelites had 400 years of silence where they've not heard from God. And they thought they were supposed to be the people of God. And they thought great things were going to happen. They thought, you know, the Messiah was going to come and he was going to be born to a mighty king. Nope, born to a carpenter man. Or they thought the Savior, the Messiah, was going to come and he was going to be born in a palace. Nope, born in a barn. And so Jesus was a disappointment to the Israelites. It was a dead end for them because it didn't come as they hoped for. It didn't come as they expected. And it wasn't just that the Israelites were at a dead end. All of humanity was at a dead end because we were all trying to get out of our sin whatever way we thought we could, but none of us could. None of us could get past that sin, and we always did what we hated, what we didn't want to do, and we did what we didn't want to do, and we were stuck at a dead end. But I think most of all, if I was to think of anybody that was at a dead end, I would really think Mary was at a dead end. Because Mary, she was about to be divorced because of this situation. And in those days, like I said, divorce was, she legally had to be divorced from Joseph because they were engaged. Joseph had put the dowry down. He had paid some money. Not only did he have to give up the non-refundable deposit to the chapel inn so they couldn't do their wedding venue there anymore, but he also had to be divorced. And for Mary, what divorce meant was that in those days, she was divorced. And the Bible says that if you're divorced, it's a person to marry her would commit adultery. And so she's looking at a single life for potentially the rest of her life. And for a woman to be single back in those days, I mean, women were treated as second-class citizens. And so if you didn't have a husband, you didn't have a home a lot of times. And so she's looking at potentially begging. Her future all of a sudden looks bleak, but here it is that she thought she had this hope from God. And so things looked like a dead end for a lot of people. But Joseph is here, and Joseph could have reacted. He could have punished Mary severely. He could have humiliated her severely. It was even in the law that he could get people out, and they could stone her to death because of her seemingly being adulterous on him at this point. And so it was a really, really difficult situation for those people to go through, for Mary and Joseph to go through. And they're not going to know what their future is going to hold. And when that happens, I think really all of us are at a point of a dead end in our life in one way, or have been at a point in a dead end in our lives in one way or another. You know, maybe you got your finances all together and everything was going just right. You finally followed Dave Ramsey and you put all the emergency money away and everything's going good. And then the car breaks down. And we all know how much an auto mechanic costs. Or maybe you got a job and you were so excited about the job, but then the economy had a downturn and you were the last one in, first one out. Or maybe you said happily ever after to the other person, but it didn't come happily and it didn't last forever after. And then what do you do in the midst of that situation when all of those things seem to be a dead end? Well, you know how you go when you face a disappointment. You start thinking about all the different options. But one of the things that the Bible says that Joseph was is that Joseph was faithful to the law. He was a righteous man. And so it said that he had character. And so Joseph waited. He didn't just react out of his emotions. A lot of times when we're faced with a disappointment, we want to just react. And we want to say, oh, this happened. Or we want to call that person up and give them what's what. Or we want to run away. Or we want to do something. We want to just react out of whatever our first emotion is. But Joseph didn't just react. He waited. And because he waited, the Bible says that he considered this, that after he considered this. So Joseph considered some things. So our faith doesn't have to just be blind. We can think about options. We can think about different things. We can consider our options. How many know that we a lot of times when we want to consider our options, we want to do a lot of different things that maybe are not worthy or not following God? Should I just let that person go, or should I call them and beg them to come back? Should I tell my kids it's all right, or should I ground them until they're 40? You know, what should I do in the midst of this situation? But Joseph waited, and he didn't do something right away. He didn't react right away. And so the Bible says that after he considered this, then God acted. God did something. Oftentimes, if we'll wait, God will work. Amen. We've got to believe that God has something that he wants to do in our situation. And Joseph believed that God was going to do. He was a righteous man. He believed that God was going to do something. And so he kept following God. And in the midst of that, God used that situation. God used Joseph's character as a canvas to paint a better story for Joseph. And so he continued to act. And so there's an angel that comes, and the angel announces to him that there's a son coming. He said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So we know Joseph was probably afraid. He was probably having fear because, you know, he was fearing potentially the loss of his spouse, loss of his wife, that would be able to come about. Potentially he was afraid that he was going to remain single for the rest of his life, that he wasn't going to find a woman that he really wanted to marry. Maybe he was just thinking, you know, people are going to look down on me because of this situation. They're going to think that bad of me because Mary got pregnant, because I wasn't a man enough or something. So Joseph was afraid. But in the midst of that situation, an angel comes down and says to Joseph, "Joseph, what is conceived in her is from God. Simplified, what's in her is from me." And so Joseph wakes up and he says, "Cool," and he starts doing what God has commanded him to do. And for me, I would have trouble. I wouldn't just wake up and say, "Cool." Like, I'd want some proof. Like, unless the angel was Maury Povich with a paternity test, I would want to know, like, hey, it wasn't just that I ate some bad hummus, like, and so I had this dream. Like, I got to wake up and, you know, we have the gender reveal party. Like, I want the divinity reveal party. Like, hey, this is really from God, and this baby is really not because Mary slept around on me. These are the things Joseph must be thinking. These are the things Joseph must be going through. And these are the things that when we are going through disappointments in our life, we think about all these different options, all these different things that must be difficult for us, all these different ways that we could go. But in the midst of this, Joseph followed God. And I wonder sometimes maybe if my Bible is defective because, you know, it doesn't tell me that where Joseph got proof. It doesn't say that Joseph got proof of this happening. It doesn't say, also, my Bible doesn't say how he felt. It doesn't say what he thought about this or what he felt. It just says that Joseph did what God commanded. That Joseph followed what God commanded. In the midst of our situation, we need to know that there are so many different options that we're surveying. But we need to stop and we need to wait. And we need to remember that God is in this situation. You see, your destiny often starts with a redeemed disappointment. Your destiny often starts with a redeemed disappointment. Because God has something that he wants to redeem in you. And maybe what you've been disappointed, God wants to offer you something better. And so that job that you lost, maybe it's because God wants a better job. He wants to help to promote you into a better job. Or that relationship that went bad, God wants to promote you into a better relationship. He wants to lift you up into a better relationship. Or maybe when your kids are going astray, maybe that's God's working in you to help you become a better parent to surround them. Or to help them get to the point where they really need to find Jesus. There, God is working in this situation. And when we're facing disappointment, what we need to say is that if you've had a change of plans, we need to say, I don't understand the plan, but I'm going to trust that God has a purpose. And I only need to take the next right step. If there's one thing that you take away with, this is what I want you to take away. That if you had a change of plans, you don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You only need to take the next right step. And in this too, it says that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. One of those people that Jesus came to save, one of his people, is Joseph. Amen. Joseph, because of Jesus, because of what started with a disappointment, came to his destiny. That he would be saved because of Jesus Christ. Not only him, but all of those people that had faced a dead end. Mary, Israel, all of humanity would face their destiny because of what Jesus came to do. Because God came down in the person of Jesus Christ. He became incarnate. Incarnate is just means with flesh. Like, you know, there's chili, there's regular chili, and then there's chili con carne. Carne just means meat. So Jesus is God with meat. That's why chili con carne can just please God in a way regular chili just can't. So, always chili con carne. So, but we want to follow God. We want to follow what God wants us to do. I brought something out here I want to show you. My kids really love Legos. And so this is a plane my son got. But when life goes through, so Legos are hard, right? My kids want Legos as Christmas presents. And I feel like with Legos, let me give you a little Lego lesson real quick here. You know, Legos, you start with building things. You start building things on top of each other. We've got the brown brick and then the red brick. And my son's got a pink brick. I don't know why. But we've got all these different bricks, right? You've got to build things step by step. And so Legos, they're all square pieces. It's hard, but when you can put them together, they can build something really cool. And I've learned, you know, I had Legos when I was younger. I built Legos, and then I gave the Legos to my son. I kept all my Legos from when I was younger, all of those years, and I gave them to my kids. And so they've got a bunch of Legos now. And I found that with Legos, you've got to start step by step and start building the Legos. And then, once you've built the Legos, then you've got to keep going back to the instructions. Because even though I can kind of figure it out, I've got to keep going back to the instructions to figure out what's the next step to take. Sometimes, even with the instructions, I'm kind of a knucklehead sometimes, and I'll still mess up. And so I've got to take off some of the Legos and try to rebuild again. Well, I feel like life's kind of like that. Like, sometimes life can kind of come. I don't want to break that. He loves that. But life can kind of come, and it can kind of seem like just a bunch of jarbled Legos, like a mess, right? Just like something like this, and it hurts to walk on top of it. but that's how life can seem like sometimes. But we've got to take it step by step. We can survey all the different options, and we can get overwhelmed. But when we face a disappointment in our life, we've got to say, okay, what's the next right step? What's the next right thing for me to do? And we've got to keep going back to the instructions to make sure we're on the right path. And the instructions are the Bible. We've got to keep going. It's the basic instructions before leaving Earth. I know it's cheesy, but it's true. That we've got to keep going back to the instructions to follow the right path of what God wants us to do. And sometimes we're going to mess up. And so we need to get back to the part where we know it's right, and to be able to build from there. So you've got to have a foundation in your life. You've got to have some core values. You've got to have some things that you know are right. So when life goes difficult, when life seems to become a mess, you can go back to that foundation and say, okay, this is right. I know this is right. I know this is who I am in Jesus. This is what I'm going to build from here. And this is not, so this is all things I think that we need to remember when life gets tough, because life gets tough. And this is not stuff I'm just preaching, this is stuff I practiced. I remember when I was in college, I worked for different political campaigns, I worked for in government, I worked for different things, kind of interning, doing things, working, spending all this time trying to get ahead and trying to get into politics, into government. And after I got out of college, I got a job as a caseworker for a congressman. And I was the youngest one in all the offices, 23 years old, working as a caseworker. And then but my boss didn't work in my office. She worked like on another office and somewhere else. And so I didn't do the best job following up with her, letting her know that everything I was doing. There wasn't anything flagrant that went on, but I lost my job. I lost my job because I wasn't following exactly what she wanted to do. And so I ended up losing my job, my first job that I'd worked so hard for out of college. Wow. But then I went to seminary, and God had a plan for me to go to seminary. And I was already beginning to feel like my heart was transitioning to that. And then I ended up going to Princeton Seminary back east. It was a really good school, and went through that. And then went and was a youth pastor at a place, and then ended up planting a church in East Tacoma. And, you know, I came in with all of these hopes that it was going to be great. It was going to be this big thing. But we were starting our church out of a transitional housing for the homeless. And so we were working with people that were really just going through struggles in life. And it was, but we were able to get other people to be a part and get some leaders in and get some things going. And I was excited, but after time, you know, there were times when I didn't know how we were going to pay the bills. We made $1,400 a month at one point, and we had to figure out how to live on $1,400 a month with three kids and make everything work. And so there were times when I would face all the bills and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to pay all of these bills that's coming through me. But God, I trust you, and I'm going to take the next right step. I ended up in a coma. I got really, really sick and ended up in a coma for 2 weeks. And I wasn't there, but my wife said, God, we've got to trust you. We've got to believe that you're good. Because in the midst of this disappointment, we still got to believe, Lord, that you are here and that you are still going to work, God. And so we're going to take the next right step, and we're going to continue to follow you. There was a time then when after 5.5 years that all this church that I was so excited to birth, so excited to get going, we knew I had to leave. That we were burnt out. Things were difficult. And we had done a lot of great things there. But through that situation, we had to let go. We had to let go and let other people take that over and let another church kind of be a part of that. And so we let it go and we moved on. But then we moved on, and I got to be an associate pastor at a great church in Snoqualmie. And then it brought me here. You see, I've been through a lot of different trials, and that's just the disappointments that I'm sharing with you. There's also other disappointments and minor disappointments and so many things. And if we went around this room, we'd be here for several weeks just talking about all of the disappointments that we faced in our life. And yet God is still here in the midst of this. God is still showing up. We can move from disappointment to destiny when we believe that God is still there and that we can just keep taking the next right step, because that's what faith is. Faith is not saying I have it all figured out. Faith is not saying I'm perfect. Faith is not saying that hey, everything around me, I'm always sitting on mountaintops with some incense and meditating and thinking about some amazing things. No. Faith is living in the here and now and going through the stuff of life. Going through the stuff of life. And knowing that God is still with me. It's doing what God commanded us to do, what he's given us to do, even when life doesn't look like it's going to help us to do that. Amen. That's what following God is. And when you face disappointment in your life, you can say, God, I don't know the plan. My plans seem not to be working. But I know you have a purpose. And I know that if I keep taking the next right step, you'll be in this situation if I don't just try to go crazy in the midst of this. And so we're going to follow God. And we're going to watch what he can do. I'm going to close with this story that I read. I was looking up things, and I found this story. It's from the Even When It Hurts song. It was what somebody posted in there, which is by Hillsong. The song goes like this. My wife and I wanted nothing more than to have a child. We've been trying for 2 years now, and every month we are let down. This Sunday morning, after my wife thought she was finally pregnant, she started her day off with confirmation that she is, in fact, not pregnant. We almost didn't go to church. We haven't felt like God can even hear our prayers for a child. We thought, let's just stay home and skip church today. We can read the Bible together. We were both depressed, especially my sweet wife. However, my wife said, I still want to go. So we went. Every song we sang this morning was about praising God in hard times. This song was sang, the Even When It Hurts, as a special, and boy, did it hit home. When the line, even when it hurts like hell, I'll praise you. We lost it. My wife and I both couldn't hold back tears. We understood that in that moment that God will give us a child when he gives us a child. The only thing we are asked to do as Christians is to love and praise God and love and serve others. We aren't asked to be jealous of those around us with children or whatever else it is we are envious of. He doesn't ask us to victimize ourselves, to be ashamed of our shortcomings or bad dealings. God gives what he gives and he allows what he allows. And we are to praise him regardless, because we know that his will is being done. His will is good and nothing will change that, not even a child or the lack thereof. I love God, I love my wife, I love our future kids. I love all of you reading this, but only because Jesus loved me first. Amen. See, God is the foundation for everything else. The only reason we can love, the only reason we can have faith, The only reason we can get up in the morning and take the next breath we can take is because God is involved in our lives. To give up on God is to give up on the foundation. In the midst of your disappointment that you're facing, God has a destiny for you. He has something better. To give up believing that is to give up on the hope that God, that there is something better. Hope can overcome your disappointment, but only through faith. Only through believing that God is real and that he is real, not just in the world, but in your life. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this message. Thank you for the fact, God, that we face real disappointments in life. We face real difficult things. But in the midst of that, God, we believe that there is a greater purpose. Not that you've intended the bad thing to happen, not that you've intended for us to go through suffering, but God, you can use that to bring good out of it. And maybe a lot of us know that. We know that at a theoretical level this morning. But maybe we're having a hard time going through that in our hearts. So God, I pray that in the midst of the disappointments that we're facing in our hearts, God, that we wouldn't let those things go into our hearts and grow into bitterness and resentment and all of the things that will keep us away from the promises you want to offer. God, I pray that you would work on our hearts this morning and help us to follow you and help us to know that you are good and that you have a lot of great things in store for us, God. It might not always be what we want. It might not always be what we expected. But Lord, you can bring good out of this too. Help us to say that when things are going through difficult times. Say, you can bring good out of this too. To know that you are the God that is the God of resurrection. And you didn't just resurrect Jesus. You can resurrect our hopes. And you can resurrect our dreams in a new, greater fashion than we could have ever imagined, than we could have ever asked for or ever dreamt of, God. Because you are the God of resurrection. You are the God of hope. Thank you for being that this morning. Thank you for your will in our lives and your will in this church. In your precious name we pray. Amen.